Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another DC Talk episode. This is going to be for my preview podcast for James Gunn's Superman film, the reboot of Superman itself or himself, and of course the proper, I know we had Creature Commandos, but the proper beginning of a brand new DCU, as it's actually called, the DC Universe from Warner Brothers and DC. I haven't done a film preview in a while, but this felt like basically we had a new trailer that came out. I wanted to talk about some stuff from the trailer. The film itself is coming out very soon. Haven't done a DC talk in a while, and haven't done a preview podcast in a while for a film. So thought I'd stitch all those three things together and come up with this podcast. This is probably the most curious film of the year. We've got some very big films coming out this year, and we've already had some big films coming out, and particularly for these like couple of weeks in July. Obviously we've got Superman, we've got the new Jurassic film, can never remember the name of it, and we've also got Fantastic Four, which is another reboot of another thing tied into another thing. So Superman. So how am I feeling about this film? Now I've talked about it in lots of different spots, but I've done two main podcasts on it, which have been for the two trailers that we've had. I just genuinely feel very weird. This film feels very weird to me. There's a lot of weird things going on in it. Now, from the actual footage we've seen, from how the film looks, how the characters are behaving, there's just I can't actually put my finger on what it is that looks weird. It's just everything in general as a culmination in this film just strike. There's just something odd that strikes me, and I don't even mean specifically bad or specifically good or specifically anything else. I'm gonna go and see this film. I'm almost just too cu I'm too curious not to see this film. Like it's one that I almost have to see. And I felt a similar way going to see The Flash, which was what, 2 years ago, and because that was a film that had just sort of a lot of odd parts in it. Although what The Flash went through in production is way different than what this film has gone through in production. Like The Flash has got its whole, what, like 10 years story or whatever. But I'm getting some similar feelings from that to it, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I ended up thinking The Flash was good and I liked it. I didn't love the film. I recognize it had some wonky and some outright bad parts, particularly like the ending of the film and some other things. But it still had a lot of stuff in there that I liked, none of which got continued anyway, but never mind. It just there's a lot of moving parts here. Of course, you've got a completely new cast playing these characters. I'll go through the cast list in a minute, because it is a long cast list. It's not this has not just got a few characters in it, and we can talk about that soon. There's a lot of pressure on James Gunn here, of course, as well. He is the head of DC Studios. He's the writer of this film. He's the director of this film. So his fingerprints are going to be obviously all over it. And even if he just had one of those three jobs, like the head of DC Studios, like the head of this reboot, the writer for a Superman film, or the director of a Superman film, even if you just had one of those jobs, that in of itself is enough, right? Enough pressure. If you're writing a Superman film, whatever. He's seemed very confident going into this, which is good. I'd rather him come across as confident than really nervous, because then you might think like, oh, what's wrong with the film? But this also, because there's so much, there is a lot riding on this film. Whether it's for a new depiction of Superman, the pressure for all the cast to deliver great depictions of all these characters, obviously with a bit of a focus on David Quansah himself playing a brand new version of Superman. There's a lot of pressure on James Gunn to successfully write the film, successfully direct the film. You've also, of course, got the other thing, which is because the DC fandom is so split right now, so unbelievably split. There's people that want the Snyderverse to continue. I'm one of those people. There's people that think that, okay, things just got too messy and too whatever, which I also agree with. Things got very, very messy. And like, what was the continuity? What was related to what? What was who? Who was what? What was doing what? You know, what was happening? And, eventually Warner Brothers decided they needed a fresh start. I can understand why they felt that they needed that, but I still don't know that that was. Because whether it was going to be a continuation of everything that we had or a new thing, I don't think we'll know until like the first five films in this DCU as to whether that was a good or a bad choice. I don't think we'll know the answer to that based on just this film. But man, just the idea of, hey, you're writing and directing a Superman film and running DC Studios and launching a new DCU. So, okay, with all that being said, you know, if this film doesn't break even, what do you do about that? If you have in the public eye from, let's say, from step one, because, okay, how many people actually paid attention to Creature Commandos? And granted, there was never an easy way that this was going to be done, whether you're going to start with a Flash film or a Batman film or a Wonder Woman film or any of the other sort of, let's say, main characters. This was never ever going to be easy. But I mean, whenever you put any new DC thing out, whether it's a continuation, reboot, sequel, spin-off, it's never going to be easy because you're always going to have so many eyes on you. It's the same thing with anything Star Wars, anything Marvel, anything Disney, anything Pixar. All these kind of big franchises that come out. Whenever you put a new entry into anything, it's never going to be easy. If you make a spin-off of a Game of Thrones, if you make a video game adaptation, if you make, anything big like that, or, try and reboot Harry Potter or something, or whatever that thing is called, it was never going to be easy. But I'm sort of, whether this goes, okay, there can be a lot of different ways that this goes, right? But let's look at the two scales. Let's say this is a raging success. It makes $1 billion at the box office. Not like, the highest grossing superhero film of all time or anything like that, but let's say it cracks the 1 billion. Let's say it's 85% and over, or eight and over on the, in different ratings. Let's say Rotten Tomatoes and all the other different stuff. Let's say like an 8 and above, or an 80% and above. And goes well critically and makes $1 billion, then you've put your first foot, you've successfully landed on the first stepping stone to recovering DC. If this goes the opposite way, and let's say, because I believe Man of Steel, which was the last solo Superman film to compare this to, which was, would you believe it, 12 years ago, made about 600 and something million, which was considered a failure. I don't know if it was a specific box office failure, because I can't remember what that film's budget was, but Man of Steel made around 600 million, and it was divisive because of the whole, the slightly darker take on Superman, and it wasn't smiley enough for people, and all this sort of stuff, right? Those are all old wounds to not go over. Because James himself and people involved with Warner Brothers and whatever else, and other people would know that, okay, if this if what do you I mean there's not a there's not gonna be a specific kind of, like, unless this really, really properly crashes and burns and doesn't make like 200 million or something. Like, let's say it does really, really badly and it makes between 200 to 300 million. Okay, that would be a that's a disaster. That's an absolute disaster. If it does do below the 600 million, and I'm talking for the final box office, I'm not talking opening weekend. It will be endlessly compared to, like, hey, you guys said that Man of Steel was a failure because it made 600 something million. This made less than 600 million. So that's therefore this is by default also a failure. That's true. You can't really argue against that, can you? Because okay, you then mathematically and factually have numbers in it. That's not an opinion. That if someone points out that okay, once this film has finished its box office, if it makes less money than Man of Steel, and Man of Steel was considered a failure by the somewhat same studio, then both films should be considered a box office failure. So yeah, but I can't. I just can't see. Like, let's say this makes does do the disaster, which is let's say 300 million or less, right? So whether it's something really bad like 100 million or 200 or somewhere between that and 300 million, I don't think you're going to see a news article of like, hey, James Gunn's slate is all cancelled and we start again. I don't think that that happens. I don't really fit unless it really, really, really does unspeakably bad, and I don't think that that's possible. I can't see some sort of news thing where, like, hey, Superman failed, the DCU's cancelled, fire James Gunn, get someone new in, and start all over again before, basically before you've even really started. I can't see that happening, because I also think, let's say you talk really terrible box office numbers of like 100 million or less. I do think there will be too many people, whether you're excited for it, whether you think the trailers look bad, trailers look good. I think this is one of those films. There's too much curiosity around, okay, what is this thing going to look like? What's it going to be like? This will give us a bit of an indication of what the DCU will look like. And whether it's through bad word of mouth or someone like, someone saying to their friend, like, hey, I saw Superman, it was a disaster, but you've got to go and see it. It's the car crash thing, isn't it? Of like, hey, you won't believe how bad this new Superman film is. It's really terrible, the depiction of this, that, and the other, but like, it's so bad that you've got to go and watch it. People will watch this film because of that, because they will be too curious about, like, what the hell, the attitude of the sort of what the hell went wrong kind of thing. Plus, there's, hate watches and things like that. Like if a person goes and tells their group of friends, like, hey, I saw this film, it's really awful, and there are other four friends or your group of friends or whatever think like, okay, you're telling us this is awful, and that we almost would be they almost would be more encouraged to see it, I think. So yeah, but again, there's also again the same kind of like, what will the hardcore Snyder fans make of this? And what I mean by hardcore Snyder fans is the people that love the Snyderverse and aren't open to anything new. Because the way I'm looking at this is, because if you gave me the option of, okay, which one do I want to see continued, the Snyderverse, let's say with the original plans, or this, I'm going to pick the Snyderverse. But then I also know what that looked like, and I don't fully know what the DCU looked like because I haven't seen, well, no one's seen Superman yet. At least not the final or cut or whatever, right? I'm in the position where I'm sort of, because I want a functioning DC universe, which is done similarly to the MCU with, post-credit scenes and crossovers and cameos and a connected universe where someone does something in their film that affects someone else's TV show or, that same sort of thing, because it is called the, DC Cinematic Universe. I do want that. That doesn't specifically mean I want to settle with this, but also, because the sort of, because when did Justice League come out, Snyder Cut? It was 2021, I think, right? Because of the 4 years that followed after that, and we had, like, the Shazam 2, Flash, Black Adam, what else did we have? Things like Peacemaker, The Suicide, I think it was The Suicide Squad, James Gunn's version, and all of it was just messy and disconnected and not great. Because that got so tiring. Of like, okay, we're getting a bunch of films, but what does it all mean? A bit Blue Beetle as well was another one. What does it all kind of mean? Now, if this thing falls flat on its face in the first 3 years, right? So let's say we get a Batman film, not the Batman 2, because that's coming out whenever. Let's say we get a Batman film, we get like a few TV shows, and we get like the first five entries or so, right? So let's say the first 3 to 5 years. And it crashes and burns in the first 3 to 5 years, James gets fired, and we start all over again. I just will person that, that the even the thought of that, or the thought of like, hey, in 5 years this is gonna fail and it's gonna get rebooted again, that's really exhausting to me. And I would genuinely rather have I would rather have this succeed than reboot it again in 5 years, and then that take another 3 to 5 years to get started, and then all of a sudden you will be 10 years away from, you know, 10 years past this Superman film, and we'll be about to get another reboot, and then it will do it all over again, and it will just feel so exhausting. So just on the just kind of on the idea of like, you know, saving time and not spending another 5 to 10 years like, oh, it was bad, and reboot it, and new person comes in, new cast, let's reboot everything, recast everybody all over again, and do it all over again. I would rather just have this succeed, because then at least it gives me, because even if I end up not liking it, it'll at least be a functioning DC universe which has got content added to it, rather than just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and then getting, you know, just these oddball films which aren't really connected to anything. And I know a lot of you out there are kind of, you're not fussed about like a cinematic universe and you're fine with individual films. While that's fine, that's a fine idea. That's just boring to me. I don't know that you're going to get your, you know, films that are more separate and things like that. But I just think it like, rather than like, hey, yeah, we're going to get Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash films, and they're all going to be completely separate and they're not going to interact with each other. Don't we want to see these people on screen fighting together? Because isn't it just really cool? Anyway, so that's my feeling going into this. I have no, I don't really have any expectations. I'm very just, as I've said on the previous two, no, sorry, we've had three trailers, haven't we? I think it's three, two or three. Like every time I've seen a new piece of footage for this film, it's like, okay, this looks fine, and part of it looks really weird. Again, there's just something about this film that's just striking me as looking specifically odd. But like, if this film is terrible, like, if I come away and I'm like, okay, this is a 2 out of 10, like a hard skip rating, I won't feel disappointed because I never had an expectation. Whereas I suppose on the other scale, if I come away from this and I'm like, okay, it didn't feel weird watching the film, things clean themselves up a bit, it's really good, maybe not like a strong must-see 10 out of 10, but maybe like, hey, this was a must-see, this is an 8 out of 10, it was really good, I'll probably be more delighted by that, because I'm not, I'm almost kind of doing this safe thing where I'm sort of, okay, don't, I'm not, ex I haven't got any expectations for this film. So if I come away and I'm like, okay, it was not great, it was pretty bad, then I won't feel let down. On the other hand, though, I suppose if I come away from this film and I'm like, wow, this was really awful, like really awful, I suppose that will push me down more. Of sort of, okay, you didn't have any expectations for this, but this was somehow still actually worse than you thought it was going to be. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I have no excitement for it, but I'm not sort of, yeah, I'm just kind of bang in the middle on this film. I don't know if that's a boring take or something, but I'm just here to tell you how I feel. So anyway, let's take a break, we'll come back, and let's talk about the cast, because we do have some BVS comparisons to make. I know, again, old wounds and things, but there's some comparisons. Anyway, let's get to that in a minute.
Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Alright, let's move into our cast list. Let's read it out first, I suppose, because we might be here for a minute. David Cornswett, of course, playing Kal-El Clark Kent, Superman. Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern. I believe it's the Guy Gardner version. Isabella Merced, who I've just seen in the fantastic The Last of Us. She played Dina, so very happy to see her again. Although she might be wearing a helmet slash mask for sometime, so that'll be a shame. Hopefully she takes it off. As Hawk Girl, Millie Alcock, who you would have seen in the first season of House of the Dragon, playing Supergirl. And then someone else. And then Bradley Cooper as Jor-El, apparently. I don't remember seeing that be officially announced. That's what Google says here. So, yeah. Then says Frank Grillo as Rick Flagg Sr. I know he does play that character. Don't know if that character's actually in this film. And then you've got Anthony Carrigan, who's playing Metamorpho. Sarah Sampio as Eve Tekmaka. Skylar Gisondo as Jimmy Olsen. I think he's one of the reporters. Michaela Hoover, or Hover, as Cat Grant. She's the main reporter. Eddie Gethergi as Mr. Terrific, says William Reeve as a TV reporter. Sean Gunn as Maxwell Lord. Alan Tudyk, he's one of the Superman robots. Prue Taylor Vince as Jonathan Kent. Wendell Pierce as Perry White. Howell as Martha Kent. And then that's all the cast list that it's showing me. I know there's another group, I think, in this film called The Authority. I don't know if any of those are related to. I know, like, nothing about that group, but I will let this film tell me all about them. Yeah, quite the cast list. Now, it's very interesting that we had a film called Batman v Superman, which was 9 years ago. Gosh. And, of course, we had Batman, and we had Superman, and the Wonder Woman showed up, and we had Doomsday, and we had Lex Luthor, and we had cameos. I believe it was from Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash, and I think it was just those. And then, of course, all the other Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman-related characters, you had a bunch of them in the film. And it was called Overstuffed. It was called, you know, a lot of people kind of said, you know, this film is overstuffed, it's got loads of characters in it, it's got too many characters, which is true. Although, having seen that film a good few times since 2016, I've liked it more and more each time. It's got some mistakes, blah, 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 whatever, again, old wounds, but it's got some fantastic stuff in it, Batman v Superman. This film has more main characters in this than what Batman v Superman does. I mean, you've literally got Hawkgirl, Supergirl, Green Lantern, Superman, Lois, Lex, Jor-El, Metamorpho, Mr. Terrific, Cat Grant, all the other main, like, Superman characters as well. So, like, Jonathan and Martha Kent, Perry White, then whatever the authority group is called or whatever they are, Lois... quite a few characters. If you're making a Superman film, who are the main core characters that you need? Obviously, you need Superman, probably Lois, probably then a villain. Doesn't have to be Lex Luthor. It can be, you know, Brainiac or something else. So one main villain. Then, depending on the story you're telling, maybe a couple of the Kents, although you don't need them in the film. Then, like, some of the other, you know, Perry White and Jimmy Olsen, maybe some of those. And that's about it. That's about what you need. Now, we don't know how much things like, people like Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, Supergirl, Mr. Terrific. We don't know how much of the film those, because those are what you could consider, like, the extra characters. Apart from Supergirl, obviously, Supergirl's a very main Superman character. Again, she's not required in a Superman film, because there's been many Superman films that Supergirl is not in. But these other additions, like Green Lantern and Hawkgirl and, you know, Mr. Terrific, all the other ones. Now they could be in the film for 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe they're in two or three scenes culminating in that. It feels at the moment, because we haven't seen Millie Alcock's Supergirl in any of these trailers. I know they are filming her Supergirl film. They sort of posted about that. But, I think maybe with Supergirl, I think she may end up being a post-credit scene character. That's what it feels like at the moment. Because from all the footage we have from the trailers, it doesn't feel like she's there at the moment. Whereas, like, some of the other ones that we've seen, like, we've seen Hawkgirl for a bit, we've seen Guy Gardner for a bit, we've seen Mr. Terrific, they look like they're involved in the main parts of the film. So, and I totally wouldn't mind if we had, let's say, Supergirl popping up either at the end of the film or in a post-credit scene, and you do the classic, like, hey, Superman, so-and-so needs your help, and it leads into the next film. That's kind of how you build a cinematic universe, again, using the sort of MCU formula. So I wouldn't mind if she, even though I would like to see as much of Supergirl in the film as possible, because Supergirl is very cool, Millie Alcock's a brilliant actress, so, you know, the more of her, the better. You can't really go wrong with that. But I'm just saying, from the footage we have in the trailers of the characters that we've seen in scenes doing stuff, it doesn't feel like she's there in the main plot, does it? So, it almost would have been more interesting if, like, you can announce that she's playing Supergirl, but not where she's going to pop up, because, of course, she's got her own film to do. If you hadn't said that she was in this film and then she pops up in a post-credit scene, that would have been cool. Again, I don't know that that's what's actually going to happen, but that's where it feels like she's going to pop up right now, so... I'm trying to think, because when we had the other trailer before, I think it was the second one, and I talked more about, like, the third world country war storyline, and how, because that wasn't as present in this new trailer, at least from what I remember from it. I did only watch that one twice. I'm genuinely wondering how that fits into all of this. And the only thing I can think of as, like, how that gets brought in and is connected is something to do with, like, Lex Luthor's overseas political affairs. And it gets brought in that way, and that requires Superman for some reason. But at the moment, that is something that very much feels weirdly out of place. And particularly in today's day and age, with, you know, all of the, you know, third world refugee asylum seeker discussion and all that stuff that's going on in the world at the moment, I think that's going to hit in a particular way, particularly, of course, with all the real world conflicts you've got going on at the moment, and just how all of those things tie together in the real world right now. That is it's a very brave choice. Like, if you do pull that off here, depending on what exactly you're trying to do with it, that could be interesting. But I think it's a case first of discovering why that's in this film, and then seeing how well it actually plays out. So we will see. We will see. Because I, other than sort of, okay, Lex Luthor, he's obviously a political figure in this world. Maybe it's got something to do with him, and he's using it to distract Superman. And maybe that's even why these other characters pop up later. So, yeah. Because I feel like you could have... Just trying to do a little prediction here. Let's say the first half of this film is sort of just establishing the world at first. Like, okay, establishing these characters, doing some, you know, more basic stuff, some more world building. And then you maybe get into sort of... Lex does something at some point, and that requires Superman to go to whichever country this is to help them. That's maybe a distraction. And then, because there's also the other part in this film where it seems the public is very, very pissed off at Superman. We don't know exactly why that is. Maybe it's to do with how Superman's been involved in the third world country thing. There's also that little line. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something to do with, like, Superman entered that country illegally. Again, I think you've got to be careful on what you're doing with that. So, yeah. I'm very, very curious to see what that is, how it fits into everything, why the public is pissed off at Superman, how the other characters fit into this, how Lois fits into this, like her relationship with him, and how all of that sort of thing goes. I don't know. I don't know. Again, that's just something where it's like, if you do pull that off very well, it could be really, really, really good and really, really impactful. If that causes it to fall flat on its face, this film could end up being pretty bad. But I can't tell you what that's going to be because I, you know, haven't seen the film yet. So, yeah, there's that element to it. Let me talk about the actual newest trailer and how some of those bits connect to my weird feeling towards this film. I mean, again, from minute one, from bit one, from the first thing we saw, my overall feelings towards the film has been it looks fine, but it also comes across a bit odd and a bit strange. There's just something not quite right with it, and I couldn't put my finger on it. But in terms of the actual quality and what I think of that, I think it looks fine. There is some very weird bits in this new trailer. Now, I didn't want to personally make this comparison, but I saw some comparisons online and things are lining up in my own brain the same sort of way. Now, I don't mean to pick out certain moments and be like, okay, the film's going to be bad because of these few little things. Because that's not always fair. There's a scene where Superman is punching someone, and for some reason in slow-mo, this guy's... I can't remember who he like punches or whatever it is. This guy's teeth fly out in slow motion, and the teeth bounce off of the camera. I didn't quite pick up on it at first because it was the only one to me that stuck out in that particular way. That does remind me of some of the more oddball stuff from The Flash, and that's not good. That's not good at all because that was some of the worser parts of the Flash film. Just when you had those oddball bits that just like, okay, why have you done it that way? That looks very odd. So yeah, there's those elements, and we don't know how many times that's going to kind of come across. It's very interesting that one of the things that Zack Snyder gets criticised for is his slow-mo, which is actually something that I like that he does. I think he pulls it off better than most other filmmakers. Not that many other filmmakers actually try it in the same way, but he gets kind of criticized for that. Now, for the people that are more like, hey, Snyder sucks, we need this James Gunn reboot, which, if that's what you think, that you're entitled to that opinion. If you don't like Zack Snyder's DC films, and like, hey, here's James with the new, you know, bit of sauce or whatever, and he's going to do his own thing, if that's something that you're leaning towards, you're perfectly entitled to that. But how can you be okay with this slow-mo, which is much worse and also is in the film? Because it wasn't even a complaint about how Zack Snyder does slow-mo. It's the fact that slow-mo is in these films. Even though in The Flash, you kind of need that a little bit because you want to slow things down to show the detail of what The Flash is doing rather than just, you know, whizzing around on the screen and you can't see what he's doing. It's actually quite important that you do that with a speedster character. Anyway, I wondered about that as well. The kind of, there's some attempts, it looks like, in this film to do some slow-mo, a bit more in the Flash kind of style, but why is that okay to do and Zack's isn't? When in here and in the Flash, it looks much more goofy. We'll see. Maybe that's the only one in the entire film. I don't know. Again, I know Superman's a very fast character. He's not specifically a speedster, is he? But he's a very fast character, so you might want to slow some bits down at certain points. There is also, as well, some camera shots which, again, look a bit odd, look a bit weird. That leans more, again, into my feelings of just some of this film just looks a bit odd, just looks a bit weird. And we'll see how it actually plays out. So, yeah, there we go. So yeah, we have about just under a month until this film comes out. We got, July 11th, it's July 13th today for me. And we'll see, we got a 2-hour, 10-minute runtime, by the way, should have mentioned that earlier. But I don't even have a sort of, other than avoiding being a weird film and having those bad parts in it, there's not even anything sort of, like, you know, when you go to see a film and it's like, okay, obviously you don't want it to do anything bad, but there's maybe specific things that you want to see or things that you want to have happen in the film. In regards to actual positive kind of, I would love to see this, love to see that, I don't have anything in that sort of basket of kind of anything specific I want the film to do. I just want it to be good. I just want it to be just be a good film and just get your first foot on the. I think this is, it's just important in terms of just have this be a good film. To me, it doesn't have to be, you know, the best Superman film. It doesn't have to be the best best DC film or anything like that. And you could say that's me lowering my expectations, but as I said earlier, I don't have any expectations for this film because it just everything I've already talked about. But for me, as long as it can avoid having a combination of these weird slash bad, potential bad looking things coming to fruition, if it can avoid doing that in a bad way that I think it could do that, if it avoids doing that and gives me, you know, some decent action, some good acting, and just is overall a good film, it's not even the case that I'll walk away happy with the film. Because for me to walk away happy with it, I guess I'll have to specifically enjoy it more. I just genuinely don't want this to lead to 3 to 5 years of averagely received films and TV shows, and then we reboot again. I kind of just want this to just be a good film, enjoy it somewhat, we move on to the next bit, and then hopefully we can just, we can start picking up a bit more as we go through. But look, if I come away from this film and I'm like, look, it was really awesome, and I really, really enjoyed a lot of stuff, it won't really be a sort of hold my hands up, I was wrong. I don't think I'll feel that way about it. Again, I don't have any feelings towards it really. So anyway, that's my thoughts, feelings, and everything else towards this James Gunn Superman film. But good, honestly, good luck to him. Like, he's got a lot of pressure on him. I'm sure he's felt the pressure. You're leading DC Studios, new direction, new Superman film, writing, directing. Good luck to him. You know, I've no reason to wish him bad luck or anything. So, but there we go. Anyway, give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. If you think this has looked better or worse than I've said, if you've got any more expectations for this film or anything else, what do you think of, like, you know, the Third World War country thing? What do you think Lex's involvement is there? What do you think of all the characters in this film? And yeah, your general thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, or whatever on this film. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Sorry, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk, KR Entertainment Talk, and his information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main night podcast. Check out what we do by going over there and having a look at it all. There's a bunch of stuff over there. If you want to support us, of course, in different ways, you can, of course, listen to more things that we've done on the site and on the podcast platforms and all that sort of thing. So check out all of that. Word of mouth, social media, listening to more stuff. And if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. You can look out for that as well. So check all that lot out. And you can, of course, as well find us on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all of our video game stuff as well. All right, I'll see you on the other side in about a month and give you my verdict on Superman from James Gunn, and we'll see what the hell happens with this thing. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.